Welcome to the Atlantic Access Podcast. Now your host, Terry Parker.
This week featuring the Moncton-based blues rock trio Bruised Orange, made up of friends Steve Long, Roger Cormier, and Larry Kelly. The trio relies on their instinct and experience to convey a musical message that is honest, sincere. It's a blues rock combination not to be missed live or on record. Steve Long will be joining us in just a couple of minutes, but first, the title song to their most recent album. This is Testimony on Atlantic Access.
Like a doggy heat. falling. See myself in a different spin. Like a lot of tickets that's just been won. Payoff's great when it's said and done. Well, you can love me, baby, like a dog in heat. Well, you can love me, baby, like a dog in heat. 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 I lose my mind. Like a dog in heat. I lose my mind. Like a dog in heat. Like a dog in heat. Like a dog in heat. I lose my mind. Like a dog in heat. 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 I lose my mind.
On Atlantic Access this week, it's the music of Bruised Orange and from their latest album, Testimony. And we're talking with Steve Long, a band member here on Atlantic Access. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great.
Congratulations on this piece of work.
Thank you.
Sounds like you guys were having a really good time in the studio.
Do you guys
follow any set of rules in there?
Well, that's one of the rules. That's what, when we started it, we said we want to sound like three teenagers in the garage having a really good time.
Yeah. You mentioned three. It is a trio. Of course,
it's a trio,
Roger
yeah.
Cormier is your longtime partner in this.
Yeah.
And you guys picked up a newer member recently.
Larry Kelly. He's a drummer.
Okay. And you guys had a history with him? Or
Larry was my neighbor for a few years. He was across the street. And one day I was at the farmer's market. And the rest is history.
The title of the album is called Testimony, which is kind of interesting. Is anybody really doling out the truth here? Is there some heavy message to that tune? It didn't seem to be when I was listening to it.
Yeah. Well, the song Testimony is it was a song that the three of us had written together. And then we were all sitting around and we kind of threw it together and we had a whole bunch of lyrics kind of together. And then when Larry and Roger went home, I went through it and kind of edited it. There's a little message in it and it's kind of a political message there. And it's very subtle.
How many tunes did you guys have ready for when you kind of walked into the studio, and how did you whittle it down to these 10?
Yeah, so what Roger and I typically like to do is we like to write in the process. So we'll kind of say, oh, you know, let's do a CD. And then, you know, somebody will have a riff or somebody will have some lyrics and somebody will have stuff. And then it just kind of ends up everything gets thrown in together. And Larry was a big part of that this time too. So a lot of times part songs come in that somebody's been working on, you know, and then from that part song, somebody else have a riff or somebody have a bass run. And
must be quite a few takes on each tune then before by the time you're satisfied. Yeah.
Some of them actually come together really fast. So a lot of nights we get together once a week. So a lot of nights we'll finish a song quickly. At the end of the night, somebody will have a little demo or something that they'll play, and they'll say, hey, what do you guys think of this? Oh, that's pretty close. Yeah, that's kind of cool. And then click, 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 and then the next week it develops from that, usually.
Does any of that, whatever you're listening to in the moment, does that seep into the creative process?
Yeah, for me, all of it does. Yeah, a lot. Like our second album, I was listening to a guy called Ray Wiley Hubbard. He's from down in Texas. It had a huge influence on the second record. And this time, I was listening to a guy named Mark Ford. He was the lead guitar player from the Black Crowes.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got a solo. He had a solo thing going on there, and he picked up a couple of his records, and I just was just kind of, I get wrapped up in a record there.
Okay.
And then that whole R&B thing kind of shone through on this one.
So we're going to move away from the rockier tunes. Anybody who's heard a Bruised Orange album also knows that you can be very subtle at times. The musical landscape is complete. We're going to play one here called Sail. Mm. What can you tell us about Sail?
Sail was a song that Roger had come up with most of the song, Sail. It was like almost finished. We had tried it a couple of times before. You know, we had laid it down and we just couldn't get it right. And then this time, it just kind of fell into place, you know?
Right.
Yeah, as far as the lyrics, they were all Roger's lyrics. The big build-up at the end, you know, the guitar solo and stuff like that, I was doing that. And the build-up, we had tried it before on a couple other songs, and it didn't work quite as well as it did on this one.
Yeah.
But
well,
it really builds up on the end, and it was made a nice song.
It breathes like a summer evening as well, and here we are in the dead of winter, so I think it's time for a little sailing. This is Bruised Orange from their album Testimony on Atlantic Access.
Rain coming down.
as clouds on the ground. Looks like right about now. Good times sail. Rushes by in its place. Those old memories rectify. The time to say.
Baby, walk it, won't you?
That's Bruised Orange from the Testimony album, and one of the funner songs on the album, one that does well live, I Love My Baby Butt, on Atlantic Access. I Love My Baby Butt. All that's missing there is a little apostrophe S, and that song title takes on a whole different
Totally different meaning, yeah. I think that apostrophe S might have been on that first
originally,
time we wrote it.
You must get a great reaction to that when you play
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Great kind of a bar tune.
What kind of timeline do you look at when you get into putting together a project? First of all, maybe I should ask if this is done in like a home studio, or do you guys like go to a...
We self-produce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't imagine there's much of a timeline then, eh?
You would think not, but we try to set timelines because if a project drags on too long, it loses its fire there. Mm-hmm. And I think timelines really increase creativity.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, and it stops that over-obsessing over silly little things that nobody else knows about. It cleans up all that stuff, and you don't waste all your time on that.
So what about the live gigs? You guys put on always an entertaining show. What kind of difference have you seen in the last few years?
We've got more original songs, so we're able to implement more of them. And when you're playing bars, the crowd doesn't really want to hear originals. So you kind of got to create originals that they're going to accept. You know what I mean? So you got to have that R&B kind of dancey vibe. With us there, if the girls are up dancing on the dance floor, that's a win.
So, you know, you guys seem to be rather proficient in the work that you do. You don't let a lot of time slide between projects.
Mm.
Do you see that tradition continuing?
I write all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, all the time. I get up early every morning and write. Every morning. And I don't always write something on paper, but all of a sudden it'd be like, oh my, there's like five riffs.
There's always
six riffs.
Really? So you wake up and there's always those ideas there.
Well, not always, but I'm always playing the guitar.
Okay.
So when you're playing the guitar, you'll have a little messy thing going on, and then the next day you might add some other little messy thing to it, or you might, you know what I mean? And then then it all falls into place somehow.
How much does your life experience fall into the lyrics, or is it more the observation songwriter of looking at what's around? And
yeah, my life on this record, my life experience was deep.
Okay.
Every lyric was really personal.
Okay.
And you never know it because it was done with that light R&B feel there.
Right. The progression has been nice from album to album so far. What do you think the next chapter will hold?
You know, it probably depends on what we're listening to at the time.
Okay.
If we started writing one right now, it would sound like The Prodigal Son by Ry Cooder.
Well, we have one of those already.
Yeah, I know.
You got to come up with your own masterpiece.
Well, it would never sound like that.
We're going to get to the first track of the album last, and the Foresight for Two Eyes, which is kind of a play on words, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a phrase I've heard a lot. Oh, that's a poor sight for two eyes.
Really?
Yeah, you never
I've
heard
always
that
heard, no, I've heard the other way. It was like, that's a sight for sore eyes is the one
oh,
I like.
Oh, sight for sore eyes. For sore there eyes. You go. I had it mixed up.
And then we're going to spin We're Doing All Right just ahead of that one. That one's got a real nice positive flavor to it. Presume it's a relationship type of a situation in that tune, but the way it's written, I think it can be adapted.
I think that yeah, you know, the relationship is definitely the influence of the song, but I think it's been generalized enough that somebody can interpret it with whatever they're going through.
So we're going to spin that one and really enjoyed this Bruised Orange album, 10 tracks. It's called Testimonies. We're Doing All Right and Poor Sight for Two Eyes, back to back now on Atlantic Access.
a new show each week. Follow the Atlantic Access podcast with Terry Parker and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Atlantic Access. Access always spelled with an X.